the privilege this morning of introducing our chapel speaker. She is your associate provost. This is a long title. Hang on. Our associate provost and dean of arts and sciences here at Simpson. She is from the East Coast, Pennsylvania. I don't know if she likes the Steelers. I don't know. I don't know if you even like. Okay. Okay, but West Coast is best coast. So undergrad at Messiah, master's at Notre Dame, which they didn't do so well recently. Okay, anyway, and her doctorate at Princeton Theological Seminary. She most recently taught for 8 years biblical studies at Fresno Pacific. Their loss, our gain. Don't tell them. Okay, she is ordained. She's got a book coming out in March. I'm hoping you'll sign my copy. So I'm looking forward to that. She's been married to Jeremiah for 16 years. Jeremiah's her husband. And they've got two rescue dogs. You should come for a puppy day here later in the spring. A puppy dog, but you got to come and bring them. Buddy and Nixie. You guys, you'll probably recognize Melly because she wears fun tights. So I didn't have any tights, but I did have this guy. She's a collector of rubber duckies. If you can see it, there's mine. My 12-year-old left this in my car. I don't like things in my car, so I usually clean it out. It doesn't have anything in it. But this ducky he has left, I've left it, Melly, because I commit to praying for you and our faculty, and it sits in my car, so I got to take it with me. It's not for you. It's for me. We are a better university, an academic, a place of study because you are here and your voice, not only leading faculty, but your voice and your heart for the Lord. So please warmly welcome our chapel speaker, Dr. Melly Howard.
Well, good morning, Simpson. I am delighted to be with you because I have been in Christian higher education for nearly a decade at this point. I have sat where you are sitting. I have had a call to be in these spaces. And so I'm excited to be here to share my story of identity and calling and lead us into exploring what the Bible has to say about identity and calling. Now, I tell you that I've been in Christian higher education for 10 years, which might make you think, oh, wow, like, you know, maybe Dr. Melly has something that she can say to us. And in fact, I have had students over the years come to me and say, oh, man, I'm trying to figure out, what do I do with my life? Who am I? What is God calling me to do? And as I've shared my story in those conversations, what I have realized is that I've got a real bad story to be helpful. See, friends, I am one of these weirdos that when I was 16 years old, I felt a call for what God had to do in my life. Just curious, how many at age 16 knew what you wanted to do? Yeah, see, I'm the weird. Thank you. I see two hands. Thank you. I'm feeling a little less alone. But the truth is, for the vast majority of us, that is not a helpful story. See, when I was 16, I had this very clear sense from God, a clear sense that emerged out of my love of Jesus. And what I discovered was a love of learning. We're going to come back to that. You are going to quickly find out I am a total nerd when it comes to learning. We're going to have a grammar lesson. Sorry. So in any case, I had this call from God that I was to go into Christian higher education, and I spent my life doing that. I went to 4 years of undergrad. I went to 2 years for a master's program. I did 5 years in a doctoral program, and I got to the end of that doctoral program and thought, here we go. It is time. It is time to finally go and get that big girl job, that job that I felt God calling me to at age 16, and that God that I knew was there with me at 16. I thought, yes, Jesus is going to be here with me as I go on. And so I begin sending out my job applications. I send out application after application. And I have one application that goes out, and they like me. They really like me. And they talk to me and say, yes, you know, we want to talk to you more. Come to our campus. Come teach for us. Let's have you interact with people. And so I went to their campus and I taught for them and I interacted with people. And I left thinking, man, Jesus is with me. I have got this. I am living into my calling. And then I waited. And I waited until I got the call. We're sorry. We went with another candidate. And the thing is that those messages would come again and again and again, so that I can tell you that at this point in my life, I have applied for and been rejected from over 100 jobs. 100 times people have looked at me and said, "You're not what we want." And after one of those calls, I remember vividly sinking to my knees in my room and crying out to God, "You were the one that called me to this. I thought that you were there when I was 16. I thought that you were the one that was calling me to this. Why can I not fulfill the calling that I felt you calling me to?" What I didn't know and couldn't sense at the time was that Jesus was still there. That same Jesus who had been there when I was 16 years old was there with me as I had sunk to my knees on the floor crying out to God. That Jesus was still there. That Jesus was still faithful. And so this morning, I tell you that story because as we look at our Bible passage for today, what we're going to find is that my story is not the only story like this. And the story in the Bible that we're going to find is not the only story like this. My hunch is that in this room today, there are stories that are like this. Stories of Jesus being there in all the moments of your identity and calling. So let's go ahead and turn together to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, we have an encounter between Jesus and some of his closest friends, his followers and his disciples. And so let's take a look at this, Matthew chapter 16, picking it up in verse 13. "Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' Jesus said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, what we find in this story from Matthew 16 is a story of Peter, Jesus's closest friend, Simon Peter, understanding his own identity and his own calling. But I want us to note where Jesus starts. Now, this is the Jesus of the Gospels who seems to know a lot. Very frequently, we find Jesus and teaching. We find him coming and dropping truths. We find him coming and sharing from his vast wisdom. But notice what Jesus does here. He starts with a question. Jesus starts this conversation with questions. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do you say that I am? And I think this is important because I think for those of us who are wrestling with this question of who am I, what am I called to do, it is more often the case that we have questions, not answers. And so what I want you to hear today is that if you are in that spot of asking questions, Jesus is there. Jesus is there in your questions and in your doubts. But it doesn't stop here. After Jesus asks these questions, notice what comes next. Peter identifies who Jesus is. You are the Messiah, the Son of God. Peter starts with Jesus. Peter doesn't start with himself. Peter doesn't start with his own identity. Peter doesn't start with his own calling. Peter starts with Jesus. And I want that to be a word that sits with us today. If you are asking, who am I? What am I to be? Where is Jesus in that? Where are you starting with the one who calls you by name, with the one who gives you identity and a vocation? We start with Jesus. And then we make a turn. There's this beautiful moment of connection, of intimacy between Jesus and Peter. Peter has just identified Jesus, and Jesus now turns to Simon Peter and identifies him. He starts by recognizing that the insight that Simon Peter had was not of his own. I tell you, it is not flesh and blood that revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Everything that Simon Peter has just said has been revealed to him by Jesus' own Father. And then Jesus gives him a name. Now, I want to pause on this name question for a minute. You might have seen on my opening slide, and you might have heard in Sarah's introduction, that I go by Melly. So my legal name is Melanie Ann Howard. But for all the people who know me, you know that I go by Melly. And so this means that whenever I get a call from a telemarketer who says, is Melanie available? I'm like, no, you don't know who I am. Melly is the name that makes me feel seen. It's the name that makes me feel known. When somebody says Melly, I'm like, yes, yes, you are my people. And so I wonder if you have names like that. Maybe a boyfriend or girlfriend has a cute little nickname for you. Smoochie Poo, baby, sweetie, honey. Maybe something like that. Or maybe in your sports team, superstar, awesome, the GOAT, right? I don't know what your names are, but think maybe there are those groups or friends that have special names for you. And think about how those names make you feel. When somebody calls you by that name, it's like, yeah, yeah, I am Smoochie Poo. And so notice here what Jesus does. Jesus starts with a name for Peter. You are Peter. What's going on here? I think we have a clue in the fact that up until this point, Matthew's text identifies him as Simon Peter or Simon. And now it's just Peter. It's a nickname. It's almost like Jesus saying, you're my smoochie poo, Peter. I see you. But it's more than that. Okay, I told you that I'm a little bit of a nerd. Here's the first nerdiness that you're going to get out of me, okay? We're going to learn a little ancient Greek. Yes, I'm excited. Okay, so in ancient Greek, which is awesome, you should all go take a class with Dr. Smith on biblical Greek. It's amazing. It will change your life. What we would find is if we were reading this text in Greek, when Jesus turns to Peter and says, you are Peter, the Greek word for Peter's name is Petros. You are Petros. Okay, we learned our first Greek word. Say it with me, Petros. Beautiful, you're speaking Greek, I love it. Okay, so then Jesus turns to Peter and says, on this rock, I will build my church. Now the Greek term for rock is Petra. You are Petros, on this Petra, I will build my church. This is Jesus looking at Peter and saying, you're rocky. You are out there, you are fighting like Rocky, and you are the rock on which I am building my church. I am giving you a name, and I am giving you a calling. That is what I am doing in this moment. A new name and a new vocation. And I can imagine Peter standing there and saying, yes, Jesus is with me. But here's where the story gets me. Now, we could end here. We could end right at this point and we'd all go out feeling like, oh man, this was just like really sweet and lovely and, you know, Peter is Jesus' smoochy poo and it's awesome. But I want us to know what happens immediately after this beautiful moment. Just a few verses later, we'll take a look at this next passage from Matthew 16, starting at verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on divine things, but on human things. Jesus had just given Peter a name. Jesus had just given Peter an identity and a calling, and now Peter has gotten it wrong. Now Jesus is saying to him, get behind me, Satan. And it might feel to Peter in that moment that the Jesus who was just there with him is now no longer with him. But again, we're going to geek out on the ancient Greek. I think what we find is that this is not Jesus abandoning Peter. Okay, before we get into the ancient Greek, we're going to have a brief grammar lesson, okay? Prepositions. Who's excited about English grammar? It is me. Okay, I am okay with that. Okay, let's talk about prepositions. Prepositions are those words in English that put two things in relationship to each other. So, I am beside the podium. I am in front of the podium. If the podium were more secure and I could stand on top of it, I would say I am on top of the podium, okay? So prepositions are those words that are putting two things in relationship, me and the podium. I am behind the podium. And what I want you to notice about what I just said is that me and the podium are still in relationship. When Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Jesus is still in relationship with Peter. Well, there are some English translations of this verse that say, get away from me. What we find is that the Greek word used here, apiso, means behind. These are two things that are in relationship. Yes, Peter has messed up. Yes, Peter is not quite getting it, but no, Jesus has not abandoned Peter in this moment. And so if Peter, like me, is having a moment at this point saying, what am I doing? Who am I? What has happened here? It's not the case that Jesus has abandoned him. Jesus is still there. And if you are in a spot where you're feeling abandoned, where you're feeling apart from Jesus, let me assure you that Jesus is still there. And so this morning, I tell you my own story, and I tell you this story of Simon Peter, because I think it helps us as we consider our own identities and our own callings. I think it helps us to avoid extremes in how we might think about those things. So on the one hand, we could be like me at age 16. We could be like Peter in the first part of this text where it feels like, yeah, I am getting it. I am Jesus's smoochy poo. And we might feel like we are the most amazing thing that has ever happened. Perhaps you, like me, jokingly, sent this meme to your family. If you can't read it, it says, "Wondering what to get my family for Christmas when they already have me." Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're feeling real good. And perhaps the word for us today is to be careful, to make sure that we are behind Jesus. But I suspect that there are probably more of us who tend towards the other extreme. I wonder if you've been in that spot of saying, "I am an utter failure." I wonder if you have had moments like I did as I had fallen to my knees in my room crying out to God, "What am I doing? Where have you gone?" I wonder if you have had those moments of feeling like a failure. And if that's you, I pray that you, that me, that all of us can hear the word that Jesus is still there. In those moments of doubt, in those moments of feeling like we don't have value or significance, may we hear that Jesus is still with us. Jesus has not abandoned us. In those moments of question, in those moments of wondering, may you rest assured that the God who created you in God's own image, the God who formed the universe, formed you. God has not abandoned you. And so wherever you are this morning, wherever you're at in your journey of uncovering your own identity, your own name, your own calling, I pray that you would feel Jesus' presence alive and with you. Let us pray. Good and beautiful God, thank you for who you have made us to be. Thank you, God, for calling us by name. Thank you for knowing us and giving us a calling and vocation. And God, I pray that we would continue to feel your presence with us. God, I pray that whether things are going well or whether we are in moments of doubt, that we would feel you with us, beside us, and accompanying us. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for who you've made us to be. And may we go and mold ourselves and our lives after your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.